Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Practice of the Wild Essays by Gary Snyder is a collection of reflective essays that sits at the intersection of nature writing, environmental philosophy, cultural criticism, and spiritual inquiry. First published in 1990 and reissued in later editions, the book is not a field guide or a conventional memoir. Instead, it uses essays to rethink what wildness means, how humans belong to the natural world, and how culture can either deepen or damage that relationship. Snyder draws on his life as a poet, Zen practitioner, and student of ecology and indigenous knowledge to argue that wildness is not a remote place separated from people, but the living condition of the earth itself. Across the collection, he explores place, language, freedom, community, and responsible attention to land. The result is a compact but influential work that asks readers to reconsider their assumptions about civilization, wilderness, and the practical ethics of living on the planet. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, wildness as a living condition rather than a separate destination. One of Snyder's central arguments is that wildness should not be treated as a pristine zone outside human life. He presents the wild as the active, self-organizing reality of the world, including plants, animals, weather, soil, and people. This idea changes the usual environmental frame instead of imagining nature as something humans visit or preserve from a distance. Snyder insists that humans are already part of it. That claim matters because it shifts responsibility. If the wild includes us, then environmental ethics cannot be based on separation, innocence, or retreat alone. The book asks readers to see daily human activity as embedded in ecological systems that have their own limits, rhythms, and intelligence. Snyder does not deny the damage caused by industrial society, but he responds by redefining the terms of belonging. Wildness becomes less a romantic ideal than a practical and moral fact. This is why the essays repeatedly return to attention, humility, and participation rather than domination. Secondly, freedom as discipline, restraint, and ecological etiquette, Snyder's idea of freedom is deliberately unusual. He rejects the common assumption that freedom means absence of rules or total personal choice. In these essays, freedom is closer to learning how to live well within a world that has real boundaries. He uses the notion of etiquette to suggest that a free person is not someone who extracts endlessly from nature, but someone who understands how to move through it with awareness and respect. That includes recognizing the needs of other beings, the consequences of use, and the value of limits. The practical effect of this argument is important. It replaces abstract liberty with a grounded ethic of conduct. Freedom becomes something learned through attention to place, season, and ecology. Snyder links this to the larger problem of modern culture, which often confuses convenience with freedom and control with mastery. His essay suggests that real autonomy depends on participation in systems larger than the self. This makes the book philosophically distinctive because it treats restraint not as a loss of freedom, but as its condition. Thirdly, becoming native to place through close observation and local knowledge. Another major theme is the need to become native to one's place, a phrase Snyder uses to describe deep, long-term engagement with the local environment. He is not proposing simple nostalgia or a rejection of modern life. Instead, he argues that people should learn the names, patterns, histories, and seasonal changes of the land where they live. This includes rivers, plants, animals, geology, and human histories tied to the same region. The point is not only knowledge for its own sake, but accountability. If people know a place well, they are less likely to treat it as disposable. Snyder's approach values direct observation over abstraction, and this gives the essays much of their force. He presents local knowledge as a corrective to detached systems of thinking that ignore particular landscapes. The idea also broadens environmentalism beyond wilderness preservation into everyday responsibility. A person can practice ecological care not only by defending remote parks, but by learning how to live respectfully within an ordinary watershed, neighborhood, or bioregion. That makes the theme both philosophical and practical. Fourthly, the merging of Zen practice, poetry, and ecological awareness. Snyder's background in Zen Buddhism strongly shapes the tone and structure of the book. The essays often reflect a meditative habit of mind, careful observation, acceptance of impermanence, and a willingness to see human beings as temporary participants in larger processes. Rather than presenting spirituality as escape from the material world, Snyder uses it to sharpen attention to the material world. This is one reason the book feels different from many environmental texts. It does not simply argue for conservation. It asks for a change in perception. Poetry matters here as well, because Snyder treats language as a way of learning how to notice patterns and relationships without reducing them to abstractions. His prose often moves between scholarship, personal memory, and philosophical reflection, creating an essay form that mirrors the connectedness he defends. The effect is neither purely academic nor devotional. It is a disciplined, reflective mode of seeing. By combining Zen, poetry, and ecology, Snyder offers a model of thought in which spiritual practice becomes a way of inhabiting the earth more responsibly. Lastly, culture, language, and the politics of living within the natural world. The book also examines how culture shapes human understanding of nature, and how language itself can either obscure or clarify our relation to the wild. Snyder is critical of cultural habits that treat the non-human world as raw material for human use. At the same time, he does not reject culture altogether. Instead, he looks for forms of culture that stay in contact with ecological reality, local knowledge, and communal responsibility. This makes the essays politically significant, even when they are not written as direct activism. He challenges modern assumptions about progress, economic growth, and control, suggesting that these often depend on alienation from the land. Language matters because the words people use for nature, wilderness, and civilization shape what they think is possible. Snyder often works by redefining common terms so that readers can see how ideology hides inside ordinary speech. The result is a critique of modernity that is ethical rather than purely theoretical. He invites readers to imagine a culture that is less extractive, more attentive, and more accountable to the living systems that support it. In conclusion, The Practice of the Wild is best suited for readers interested in environmental thought, nature writing, ecology, philosophy, Buddhism, and poetry. It will also reward anyone trying to think seriously about place, land use, and the ethical limits of modern life. Its practical value lies in the way it translates broad ecological concerns into habits of attention, learning one's surroundings, respecting limits, and seeing freedom as responsible participation rather than unbounded choice. Its intellectual value comes from Snyder's ability to connect fields that are often kept separate, including literature, spirituality, anthropology, and environmental ethics. What distinguishes the book from many other works in the genre is its refusal to treat nature as a sentimental backdrop or wilderness as a distant refuge. Instead, Snyder makes wildness the condition of life itself and asks how culture might be reorganized around that fact. The essays are compact, erudite, and grounded in lived experience, which gives them lasting authority. For readers looking for a serious, non-formulaic meditation on how humans belong to the earth, this book remains one of the most distinctive and durable works in its category. If you would like to support Gary Snyder, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.